Hello, this is Dr. Leonard McGill from the Energy Sexuality Insider YouTube channel and energysexuality.com. Following is a talk that I gave at Master Montauk Chia's Tao Garden in Chiang Mai, Thailand in 2016. And it talks about my insights into women from being a vaginal masseuse. So I hope you like it. I hope you have a lot of questions and comments that come from it. I'd love to hear from you. Without further ado, enjoy the talk.
Lessons learned from my job as a vaginal masseuse. How did I get here talking to you about this subject? Well, myself, just like you, I think I started out my life pretty innocent when it came to sexuality. In other words, we all start out fairly innocent. And I know that there are people that say that there are other factors, that we're not a blank slate when it comes to our sexuality and when we first start out. And I think that's true. I think that things like DNA and karma do play a role. And close your eyes for a moment and breathe down into your abdomen. And as you breathe out, just feel your shoulders drop down toward the floor. And I want you to imagine now, I want you to imagine that you are traveling back in time, all the way back to when you were a little baby and you were being rocked in your mother's arms. So I want you to imagine being swathed in a nice warm blanket and you're looking up, you're gazing into your mother's eyes. And I want you to put yourself in that body of that little baby there. So you might picture yourself in your mother's arms and then let your consciousness float into that little baby that you see so that you're looking right up into your mother's eyes. And I want you to feel how your mother is sending you beautiful, unconditioned love through her eyes. And that's flooding into your eyes and filling your heart with a golden white love energy. So as you sit there breathing, just imagine you're a little baby and you're in this nice warm blanket and you're looking into your mother's eyes and she's beaming unconditional love into you. And you feel so warm and close and connected to her. And I hope that you've had moments like that in your life. So take a deep breath in. You can come back. So that's what I mean by innocence. Like if you could take that state into your life going forward, you would be able to love with your whole body. Your heart would be open. And you'd have we'd have far fewer problems when it came to sexuality. But what happens as soon as we start to develop in life, we start to get the formation of this thing called the ego. And so when we're a little baby looking to our mother's eyes, there's no separation. You know, we're really one with mom's love, and it's a beautiful thing. And but soon after that, as we start to grow up, we have this ego. And what the ego does is it says, well, there's me and then there's everything else. So it separates us from that oneness we were feeling with mom, so that now we are separate and there's us and then everything else. And what that does is, for one thing, it's a fairly fearful state to be in, you know, because what we do is we try to control and figure out things. And this is how our own sexual preferences and kinks get developed, because what happens is we see reality and then our ego processes it in a way that makes sense to us, and it can do some really strange things in doing that. So it's not like it's not like we're really perceiving reality. What we're perceiving is reality through an ego. So as the ego forms, we have our non-God nature, and what it does is it covers up the innocence and the God nature we had before. So you can imagine that if this were the sun, it would be shining, right? And then a cloud comes over it, and now we're in this state. The sun is still shining, you know, as it always does, but the cloud doesn't let us see it. So this is how we start to go on in life as we're developing and as we start to think and talk about sexuality. And this is how we start to develop sexual preferences. So if we didn't have an ego and we were in that state where we were born, which is this beautiful feeling state of being one with our mom, then we wouldn't develop sexual preferences. But crazy things happen in our lives that create these. So, for example, a young man, he's in puberty and he's getting erections, spontaneous erections all the time. And he happens to have an erection and he sees his sister going to the bathroom, and bam, just like that, he forms an association between going to the bathroom and sex. And you know, you laugh, but this is how our associations form. It doesn't have to be like that. It could be like if you're a woman, for some reason, you really like tall, thin men with black hair. And you wonder, well, gosh, where did that come from? Well, when you were 6 years old and you were sick, you went to the doctor, and it happened to be a very caring doctor, and he was tall and thin and had black hair, and he really treated you beautifully and took care of you. And so you were very young. You weren't even thinking about it, but from then on, you're attracted to men like that. It's subconscious. So we go through life and we build up these different kinks, for example, bondage and submission. So this is just one example of all the different things that people are into when it comes to sexuality that have nothing to do with their God nature that they started out with.
So when you have somebody that's into bondage and submission, I'm not making any judgments about this, but you have one ego that likes to tie people up and hit them with things, and then another ego that likes to be tied up and be hit with things. And we all have these kinks. So for one thing, if you have a sexual preference like that, and it's not commonly accepted, please forgive yourself, because you know we all have them, and your friend probably has something that's stranger than you. Okay, so we don't have to be so uptight about that. It's just the way things work out, and it's because, again, we're not innocent anymore. We're having experiences, and our egos are processing it and making it right for us. And trying to make sense of the world and keep us safe. So I, like you, have kinks. And what happened to me is when I got to a certain point, I became a people pleaser. And what I mean by that is there are some people that their main concern in life is making sure that other people like them. And so this was one of my kinks that developed. So when I started to have sex, it was very important for me to please the woman. Like if the woman didn't seem like she was having a good time, or I didn't think I did a good job, I would feel awful about myself. And so that was just one of my kinks. And what this led to in me was a fascination with sexual psychology. So at a very young age, like 13 or 14, I started to read up on sexual psychology. When I was in junior high school, I read The Function of the Orgasm by Wilhelm Reich. Raise your hand if you've ever heard of Wilhelm Reich. Okay, yeah, so there you go. So this is not a book that most people in junior high school read. Okay, it's Wilhelm Reich was one of Freud's most brilliant disciples. And he was the first psychoanalyst that postulated that our neuroses tend to become locked in our bodies. And so he started to not only do psychoanalysis on his patients, but he would also work with their bodies, trying to free up the neurosis from the body, and he came up with different ways to do this. And he's really considered the father of almost all the body therapies, such as Rolfing, primal scream therapy, somatic healing, all these things which realize that our emotions get trapped in the body. He was the first guy that thought of that. So I started to read up on that. And so for my senior paper in high school, I did my report on the function of the orgasm. And it was a very popular talk. I had actually more people than this come to the talk. So that was my particular kink, and then after that I got into chiropractic. So for me, chiropractic was a wonderful profession because I was a real people pleaser, and here's a way to please people. So the more people I saw, the more people I could please, and I was just really happy doing that. And it also let me work with my hands and touch people.
And one thing that you should know about people pleasers is that when you're a people pleaser, oftentimes you are not able to experience intimacy. But the psychological nature of a people pleaser is that they are holding themselves back, and that's why they're so interested in other people's approval, right? So they're very inauthentic sort of people. They kind of hide behind the shell. And that's what I did for 30 years or so. And I was a really successful chiropractor because I just loved pleasing people. So I saw over 200 patient visits a week for 24 years in a row. And it was very unconscious, however. So what happens to a lot of people when they're living their life unconsciously like that is that something happens to them to break them open so that they can actually grow. And in my case, I had a personal tragedy that actually broke my heart open. And I won't go into that because most people that I run into now, they have tragedies in their lives. You know, everybody's lost somebody or, you know, had a personal tragedy. And oftentimes the result of this is that your heart breaks open and you reevaluate things and you go, wow, what have I been doing with my life, you know? So for me, that was 4 years ago. And it was, in retrospect, one of the best things that ever happened to me, but at the time it was extremely painful. So I was going through this dark night of the soul, and my heart was broken open, and I met a woman. I was now feeling everything. Like before, I was like, couldn't be intimate. Now I could feel everything. Like I remember coming home from Thailand last year on the airplane, they had a trailer for the new Cinderella movie, and I was crying looking at the trailer to Cinderella. It's like, oh, and I was like looking around, tears streaming down my face. But now I feel everything, right? So I started to go out with this woman, and one day, this was about 4 years ago, we were having sex. And we'd had sex, and she wanted to have more of it. But I was in that awkward stage for a man called the refractory period. And that's the period after an ejaculation where you can't have another erection for a while, and sometimes more than a while. So she asked me if I would massage her vagina. And I tell you the truth, I'd always liked using my fingers to pleasure a woman. I thought I was pretty good at it, but what I had been doing was nothing at all like what she had in mind. So it took me about 5 minutes to explain to me how to massage her clitoris in her G-spot, and within about 5 minutes, she was having this great orgasm. And she had like four or five more orgasms within a half hour, and I was sitting there going like, wow, you know, for me, being a chiropractor for 24 years, working on people, and also having been a people pleaser, and really wanting to please women, this was just like nirvana. Because it was like, wow, you mean I can do this? And she enjoys it that much, and I'm using my hands and everything? But I'll tell you, the first time that I did that, I felt a little sad. Because here she was, enjoying herself, and I was like on the sidelines. You know, I wasn't really involved. I thought, well, shouldn't my penis be doing all that work, you know? And so I was a little sad, and she said, well, what's up? And I said, well, you know, that seemed like it was a lot of fun for you, but what about me? And she said, well, come here. And she like pulled me down in the bed, and we started having this great sex. You know, my refractory period went away, and it was like the massage had opened her up, where she was really open and giving and wanting to give all that love back to me. So that was a real eye-opening experience for me. It was like, oh, okay, well, this is another level of foreplay I had never experienced, right? So that's how I got here talking to you tonight. That was 4 years ago, and after that, I started to study vaginal massage, and I'm trying to become a real world-class expert at it. So I wanted to give you some insights into what I've found out about women being a vaginal masseuse. So the first one is that there's a huge difference in women between women who have learned to give themselves pleasure and women who haven't. And what I mean by that is during the past 4 years, I've met several women, at least a half dozen, who can breathe in a certain way and have an orgasm. And I never would have believed that 5 years ago. But these are women who have actually trained their bodies to feel pleasure. And there's not many women that actually take the time to do this. It's too bad, because these women that do take the time to do it have a lot more fun. So unfortunately, a lot of women have the idea that they're waiting for Mr. Right to come along, just the right guy who knows all the moves to take them to heaven. And this is a real shame, because for one thing, most men are really incompetent lovers. And two, we're not mind readers. And so women are so different that a guy could be a great lover for one woman, and he brings the same set of skills and thoughts to the next woman, and it's completely flat, right? And so as a woman, it pays to learn how to turn yourself on, would be the phrase, right? So I'll give you some examples. Two women come to mind. One was a young Asian woman, and she was very sophisticated, pretty, in great shape. So she came to me, and we started to do the vaginal massage. Now, the vaginal massage that I do, it's like a 90-minute session. And about 60 minutes are actually visualizations, gentle massages, ways to get the person very relaxed. Because, listen, nothing usually happens sexually unless you trust the person that you're with. So I take at least an hour to try to get the person to just relax and trust, right? It's only the last half hour that we do other stuff. So I've never talked about this before in a group, so I may seem a little awkward here. So I'm doing my thing. I'm massaging her vagina, and she's having these squirting G-spot orgasms. So she's squirting all over the place, you know, and I'm thinking, you know, I'm feeling good about myself. This is, you know, it's like, wow, okay, I'm doing my job. You know, she's having a great time. And then afterwards, she told me she hadn't felt a thing. I'm going like, wow, that's really strange. And so she hadn't told me before, and we started to talk, and she said, no, I'm numb in there. And she said, am I a lesbian? So she was asking me if she was a lesbian because she was numb inside of her vagina. Right. So you could see how somewhere along the line, and I'm not didn't have time to do a complete psychoanalysis of her, but somewhere along the line, she has hooked up in her mind that even though her body is having what could be very pleasurable sensations, she's not feeling it. I mean, she's not the only one I've run across like this. There are women that, you know, they're orgasming, they're having contractions, they're having squirting G-spot orgasms, but it doesn't feel like their brain isn't connected to the pleasure. If you're a woman, you really need to take the time, and really that's all it takes, is it's taking the time to learn what's pleasurable and then let it flow into the body. Because so often what happens, they block the sensation. So it starts to come up and they go, ooh, ooh, ooh. And something in their mind that's been screwed up since who knows when says, bad girls shouldn't enjoy sex as much as men, something like that, you know. Or, you know, it's not right to show that you're having pleasure. All these things that women have to walk around with. So what I told this young lady is, I said, listen, you're not a lesbian, got a great body, works wonderfully. What you need to do is spend about a month learning how to pleasure yourself, learning what feels good, and let it flow through. And so many times it's just breathing, just letting the breath do the job. And in my book, I have a whole chapter on how to get rid of these blocks to pleasure. And so much of it is letting the feelings come up that created the block in the first place, breathing through it, and then that block will tend to go away. But from what I've found, it doesn't happen in one session. It takes time. You know, it takes time. So that would be one insight. The next insight is that Wilhelm Reich was right, that actually our emotions are stored in our bodies, and for women, emotional traumas, mental traumas can be stored in the vagina. And this has been the most magical part of doing this sort of work, is when you can release one of these blocks that a woman has had, and it's often subconscious, and all of a sudden she just feels so much better. So a woman that I worked on in the United States a few months ago, she was a black woman, and she was in her early 50s, and she had been a preacher, like the deacon of a church. And this is the Deep South, right? So these people are real serious about Christianity, right? So she was the deacon of her church, and she finally said, I'm going to do something else. And she just started to experiment with her sexuality. So anyway, we were doing the vaginal massage, and she said afterwards, she said, you know, when I was 23 years old, I had a hysterectomy because I had cancer, and they took my uterus out. And she said, at the time, I thought, well, that's nice. I don't have to have periods anymore. You know, I don't have to worry about birth control. And that's great. But she said men that she was with started to comment about how she seemed very masculine in her sexuality. And she said, you know, it wasn't until we did what we just did that I realized ever since they took my uterus out, I lost my femininity at that point. And I started to act more masculine. She said, you know, I'm sitting here and I feel like a woman again. And what a beautiful thing that was, you know. So that's the sort of thing that can happen. Another woman, I remember, said that she had had sex when she was young with a man with a very large penis. And she said it was a very painful experience for her. So she said when we were doing the vaginal massage, that memory came back. And she was just breathing and letting things happen. And it's just like that memory passed away. And all of a sudden, she could just feel her vagina getting much juicier. So there was something in there that had been held on as a protective mechanism against being hurt again. And this had been going on for decades. Most men who deflower virgins do a terrible job of it. In other words, there's usually not roses and champagne and, you know, quiet nights and soft music. Unfortunately, you know, I think if you ask most women, the best was that it was a nice experience, and the worst is it was just like terrible. But a lot of women, from their very first sexual experience of losing their virginity, have a bad association with sex. And then they get with men who are rough handling and incompetent, and after a while, their vaginas just go, you know, and it's a subconscious thing, you know, but they're, as long as the vagina is tight and holding that tension, then it's not going to be able to experience as much pleasure. So it really pays to get these past traumas out of there if that is the case. So my third insight is that women need to enjoy sex as part of their spiritual development at a certain point. Now, especially in the United States, there's this trend now that women in their 40s and 50s, usually around 45, early 50s, they decide that they need to be free, that the partner that they've had for maybe 20, 25 years is not the partner they want to end the rest of their life with. And usually the children are gone, and it's their time to find themselves. There's a real spiritual component to finding their sexuality again after 45 or 50 years old. And so I've run into these women who are just on a sex binge, you know. They're just enjoying the hell out of themselves. And it's so nice to see that women can actually do that, and that, you know, we live in a time where that's possible. So one more thought, and then we're going to open it up to questions and comments. And I hope you guys have some comments. My last insight is that women are an opening to the divine. And if a man isn't taking advantage of this, it's a real shame. Because when you can be present as a man, when a woman is having an orgasm, it's like God is right there, like God is in the room. Oh God, right? How many times have you in your life, in the peak of an orgasm, said, oh God, right? Because it's that time when, you know, they've actually done studies on this, and when they ask people, when have you felt most ecstasy in your life? Some people say, oh, well, it was this beautiful sunset in Maui, or, you know, when I held my baby in my arms, that was the most ecstatic moment. But for the majority of people, it's during sex, is when they have that feeling of ecstasy. So, oh God. And Wilhelm Reich was right. the orgasm transcends the ego at that point. So that was one of Reich's ideas, is that the orgasm acted as like a reset button, and that if you could have a really good orgasm, it would flush the neuroses out of your body. But in that moment when a woman has an orgasm, and a man too, you transcend the ego and you go back to that natural state, that innocent state, for those few seconds, and in the work that is being done now, perhaps for hours at a time, which is a real benefit to the sort of vaginal massage that I teach. She finally said, I'm going to do something else. And she just started to experiment with her sexuality. So anyway, we were doing the vaginal massage, and she said afterwards, she said, you know, when I was 23 years old, I had a hysterectomy because I had cancer and they took my uterus out. And she said, at the time I thought, well, that's nice. I don't have to have periods anymore. You know, I don't have to worry about birth control. And that's great. But she said men that she was with started to comment about how she seemed very masculine in her sexuality. And she said, you know, it wasn't until we did what we just did that I realized ever since they took my uterus out, I lost my femininity at that point. And I started to act more masculine. She said, you know, I'm sitting here and I feel like a woman again. And what a beautiful thing that was, you know. So that's the sort of thing that can happen. Another woman, I remember, said that she had sex when she was young with a man with a very large penis. And she said it was a very painful experience for her. So she said when we were doing the vaginal massage, that memory came back, and she was just breathing and letting things happen, and it's just like that memory passed away, and all of a sudden she could just feel her vagina getting much juicier. So there was something in there that had been held on as a protective mechanism against being hurt again. And this had been going on for decades. Most men who deflower virgins do a terrible job of it. In other words, there's usually not roses and champagne and, you know, quiet nights and soft music. Unfortunately, you know, I think if you ask most women, the best was that it was a nice experience, and the worst is it was just like terrible. But a lot of women, from their very first sexual experience of losing their virginity, have a bad association with sex. And then they get with men who are rough handling and incompetent, and after a while, their vaginas just go, whoop, and it's a subconscious thing, but they're, as long as the vagina is tight and holding that tension, then it's not going to be able to experience as much pleasure. So it really pays to get these past traumas out of there if that is the case. So my third insight in orgasm, and a man too, you transcend the ego and you go back to that natural state, that innocent state, for those few seconds, and in the work that is being done now, perhaps for hours at a time, which is a real benefit. Be free, that the partner that they've had for maybe 20, 25 years is not the partner they want to end the rest of their life with, and usually the children are gone, and it's their time to find themselves. There's a real spiritual component to finding their sexuality again after 45 or 50 years old. And so I've run into these women who are just on a sex binge, They're just enjoying the hell out of themselves. And it's so nice to see that women can actually do that, and that, we live in a time where that's possible. So one more thought, and then we're going to open it up to questions and comments. And I hope you guys have some comments. My last insight is that women are an opening to the divine. And if a man isn't taking advantage of this, it's a real shame. Because when you can be present as a man, when a woman is having an orgasm, it's like God is right there, like God is in the room.